Take your Bibles and go with me to the book of... Well, it's all good, amen. The book of Matthew, chapter number one, chapter number 8. Matthew, chapter number 8. Great singing for Jesus Christ this morning, amen. Boy, I tell you what, thanks be to Calvary. Where would we be if it had not been for Jesus? We'd be in a mess, amen. We've been in a mess. Thank God. Well, I'd like for you to look with me in the verse number 14. Verse number 14, and we'll stop at verse 18. Verse 14 to 18, we'll read the scriptures together. And God's got a message for you this morning. I pray you'll listen and give your heart to it. Let's read the Word of God, Matthew chapter 8, verse number 14 through verse 18. Read out loud with me. And when Jesus was coming to Peter's house, he saw his wife's mother laid and sick of a fever. And he touched her hand, and the fever left her. And she arose and ministered unto them. When the evening was come, they brought unto him many that were possessed with devils. And he cast out the spirits with his word, and healed all that were sick, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by Isaiah the prophet, saying, himself took our infirmities and bare our sicknesses. Now when Jesus saw great multitudes about him, he gave commandment to depart unto the other side. Now pray with me. Father, we come before thee in the name of Jesus Christ. And we ask for thy help. Thank you for this special Sunday. And God, may the Holy Spirit help us. I know that you don't have to have me, that you could use many others. And so many more can preach so much better. But God, I know one thing is for sure. I've got to have thee. I'm in desperate need of thee. Lord, I do not pray in my power, in my stead. I do not come in my righteousness, but I come in the righteousness of Jesus Christ. And I pray, Lord, on His behalf, for His sake and Thy glory, as I preach this morning, that I will preach for Thy glory. Help me, that You give me a touch, that You'd use me. I throw my hand up to Thee, and I ask for Thy help. Bless now. In Jesus' wonderful, precious name, amen. You may be seated. Matthew chapter number 8, the Bible says, and when Jesus was coming to Peter's house, he saw his wife's mother laid. Here we have Jesus walking into the house of Peter, and Peter's mother-in-law is sick. Peter's mother-in-law, it doesn't give her name. It just said Peter's wife's mother. There's three other accounts you read about this. There's three total accounts. You see in the book of Mark, chapter 1. You see it in Luke, chapter 4. And every time her name is not mentioned, it just said Jesus came into the house. And the Bible said Peter's wife's mother. And so here Jesus comes in and we have the mother-in-law of Peter. By the way, I'm just going to give a side commercial before we go any further in the message and before I give the title. Peter was married. And everybody wants to claim, and look, I don't believe in the Pope. Somebody say amen right there. There's no hope in the Pope. Amen. I don't believe in the Pope. People say the Pope is Jesus Christ in person. They call him the Vicar of Christ. They believe the Pope is total authority. They actually teach, the Catholic Church teaches, that the Pope has more authority than the Bible. Can you believe that? And the Pope cannot be married. They say the Pope cannot be married, but the Catholic Church traces the life of Peter, and they actually say Peter was the very first Pope. That's true. They say that. And they say the Pope cannot be married. I just want to ask them, if Peter was the first Pope, then why can't you be married, since Peter, obviously? Listen, I mean, what an idiot would he be to have a mother-in-law without a wife. Amen. I mean, listen, mother-in-laws are bad enough. You wouldn't want to have a mother-in-law without at least being married. OK, Peter was married and he had a wife and he had a mother-in-law. And of course, we don't believe that Peter was the first pope. We don't believe that there's ever been a pope. We believe Jesus Christ is the leader and the head of the church. Upon that rock of him being the Christ, he built his church. The gates of hell should not prevail. I'll give you another side commercial. Now, I'm not saying this to make a Catholic mad, but I think it's very interesting that they say Peter was the Pope. And I say, well, you know what Jesus called Peter, don't you? He said, "Get behind me, Satan." He did call Peter that. Y'all know that, right? So I guess the Pope's Satan. Amen. Oh, yeah. Yeah, that's good, isn't it? Amen. And they believe, again, Peter is the Pope. I'll give you another side commercial. The Bible shows us in the book of Galatians that the Apostle Paul withstood Peter to the face, pointed at him and said, "You're in the wrong." And so if Peter was the Pope, apparently we can, under the authority, walk right up to him, point our finger at him and say, "Hey, you're wrong, buddy." Just like Paul did to Peter. Peter was never the Pope. Amen. And we don't believe in the Pope. We don't believe in there's power in Mary, a co-redemption, a partner with Jesus Christ. We don't believe Mary was some... Listen, the Pope that's living today and Mary, they both had to be saved, just like you and me. And the man that's running around in the Pope Mobile in America right now, unless he gets born again, he'll split hell wide open and burn for all eternity. His only salvation is in Jesus Christ, just like you and me. And I don't have to confess my sins to any man. I confess it strictly to the God-man, Jesus Christ. The Bible says we have one mediator between man, God and man, the man, Christ Jesus. Amen? That's it, the God-man, Christ Jesus. And now we get back to the message. But anyways, that's just a little good Bible truth. Amen? The Bible says that Peter's wife's mother lay sick of a fever. I want to preach this morning on God used somebody we don't even know. God used somebody we don't even know. I mean, what's her name? Who is this Peter mother-in-law? Who is this lady? A little portion of Scripture, a few verses. We see a lady that's sick. Notice what happens in her life. This is so powerful. The Bible said he saw his wife's mother laid sick of a fever, verse 15. And he touched her hand, the fever left her, and she arose and ministered unto them. So Jesus walks up to this lady. And by the way, you see in the other passages, the comparing scripture, that they besought Jesus for her. So she had some faith. She trusted in Christ. She gave Jesus her hand. She wanted him to come and heal her. And when he came in, this woman that we don't even know her name gave Jesus her hand. He touched her. He helped her up. He raised her up on the bed. She was well. And then she began to minister to them around her. And guess what happens next? Everyone in the town shows up at her door. Look with me in the book of Luke, chapter number 4. We see the corresponding passage of this, comparing scripture to scripture, the same story. Now I want you to see what happens. The Bible says in Luke 4, verse 38, and he arose, Luke chapter 4, verse 38, he arose out of the synagogue and entered into Simon's house. Simon's wife, mother, was taken with a great fever, and they besought him for her, and he stood over her and rebuked the fever, and it left her, and immediately she arose and ministered unto them. Now when the sun was setting, all they that had any sick, did you see that? Now when the sun was setting, all they that had any sick with divers diseases brought them unto him. So Jesus heals the mother-in-law, and then everyone in town that's sick, that has a demon, that's under the weather, that has a disease, they come running to the house of Peter's mother-in-law because they heard how Christ had changed the mother-in-law. Look with me in the book of Mark. I want you to see the phrase "at the door." Mark chapter 1. Mark chapter 1, verses number 32. Oh, let's go to verse 31. Verse 31, and he came and took her by the hand and lifted her up, and immediately the fever left her, and she ministered unto them. And at even, when the sun did set, they brought unto him all that were diseased, and them that were possessed with devils. Look at verse 33, notice this. And all the city was gathered together at the door, and he healed many. That's interesting. God can't use me, I'm a nobody. Well, that means God can use you. Here's a woman, we don't even know who she is. We don't even know her name. We just know her as the mother-in-law. And usually a mother-in-law is an outlaw. Somebody say amen right there, but not too loud, okay? You don't want your wife to beat the fire, you men, all right. We have a mother-in-law, we don't know her name, we don't know who she is. We just know her as Peter's wife's mother. a woman we don't know about. And the whole city was at her door. They wanted to see what happened to her. And they believed because it happened to her, it could happen to them. And everyone that was sick, everyone that had devils, everyone that was diseased and plagued, they showed up at the mother-in-law's house. Because a change happened to her, and they believed the change could happen to them. And all the time we think we can't be used. All the time we think that we're just nobody in this big universe. All the time we think, God can't use me. I'm not called to preach. God can't use me. I'm not some front of the crowd group. I'm not somebody that's got money. I'm not somebody that came with great intelligence. God can't use me. I'm not tall in stature. I'm not somebody that sticks out in the crowd. Yet we have a woman we don't even know who she is. And God used her testimony to reach a whole city for Jesus Christ. It's pretty powerful. God's in the business of using you this morning. God's in the business of using your life. God wants to take you and use you. Even when you feel like you're a nobody, even though you might feel like you just show up to church, hey, God knows who you are, and God wants to use you in a mighty way this morning. God wants to take your life and bring cities to Jesus. You say, oh, God can't do that. He did it with a mother-in-law. He did it with somebody like that. You know about mother-in-laws, don't you? You heard that story about that man whose mother-in-law died? And they were at the funeral service. The casket was laying there. And all of a sudden the son-in-law began to weep. I mean, this man began to cry. His mother-in-law laid in the casket. He started crying. Somebody leaned over and said, oh, you did love her, didn't you? You did love her. I just thought I saw her move, baby. Oh, yeah. I mean, listen, I'm talking about a mother-in-law being used. And we don't even know who she is. You say, I like that by the way, would you like to be used of God? I got news for you. If you don't have purpose to live, you're going to feel like not living. If you don't have a reason to live, you're not going to want to live. You need God to help you realize that, hey, He's got you where He's got you for a purpose. God's led you where He's led you for a reason. God wants to use you. You say, I'm just a mama. And God wants to use you. I'm just a single person. And God wants to use you. I'm just a single parent. God wants to use you. I'm just, you name it. I'm getting older alive. I've reached a 50 plus stage. And I'm telling you, God wants to use you. I've only been saved for a couple of years. And I'm telling you, God wants to use you. I've got some baggage. I've got some baggage. And I'm telling you, God wants to use you. I'm telling you, it don't matter your background and how much sin you came out of. Or God wants to use you. God used somebody we don't even know. Let me show you two things about this lady that if you'll do, God will use you. Number one, she gave Jesus her hand. Woo! She gave Jesus her hand. I mean, listen, the Christ, the Son of God, could have walked in there. And He could have walked up to her and said, I want to heal you. And she could have had doubt. Said, no, I don't believe in that. I don't believe you're the Messiah. Leave me alone. I'm sick. I need some doctor. I need some medical reason. I need somebody. Listen. No, but she didn't do that. She had people go out and beseech Him and bring Him to her. And when He walked up and said, give me your hand, she gave Him her hand. She gave Him her hand. The Bible says in Mark chapter 1, listen again, the passage in Mark. But verse 30 says, but Simon's wife, mother, lay sick of a fever. And anon they tell him of her, and he came. Bible says, verse 31, and he took her by the hand. I thought of myself that I am number one. You know that song, I can't even walk without him holding my hand? Lord, I can't even walk without you holding my hand. Oh, I can't even walk without you holding my hand. The mountains too high, the valleys too wide, down on my knees I learn to stand. 'Cause I can't even walk without you holding my hand. And you think you can make it without letting God take you by the hand? You think you can figure out your problems without God? Listen, if you want God to use you this morning, you need to learn to place your trust in God, no matter what you know is going on in your life. Lord, I don't understand it. Well, give him your hand. Lord, I don't know where to go. Well, give him your hand. I can't see the end. Well, give him your hand and trust him, and God can use you. Just give him your hand. I asked a preacher one time, a man of God that's been used through the years. I mean, he's been used through the years. He's an old timer, 74, I believe. I said, preacher, tell me, what does America need to do to have revival? He said, people need to get up every morning and give God their hand. And give God their hand. You may not know tomorrow, but you know who holds the future. Give him your hand. When's the last time you just let God lead you? Hey, listen, this woman had a problem and she didn't keep it to herself. She didn't try to heal herself. She gave him her hand. It's about time you stop trying to do it on your own and give them your hand. Number two, not only did she give him her hand, but number two, he raised her up. He raised her up. She gave him her hand and then he raised her up. The Bible says in verse 31 of Mark chapter 1, he came and took her by the hand and lifted her up. And immediately the fever left her. He raised her up. You say, well, I want God to use me. Listen. We all have problems and we all have circumstances that are too big for us. And I'm telling you right now, God wants to take the impossible and make it possible. But what you got to do is give him your hand. What you got to do is let him take your hand, and then guess what? He can raise you up. He can give you the victory that everyone thinks you can't have. He can help you get off alcohol. He can help you get off cigarettes. He can help you get out of pornography. He can help your marriage. He can help your home. He can fix the impossible, because everything's possible with God. And what God wants to do is take that hand and raise you up, set you back on your feet. Hey, there are so many believers that when they get down, they just stay down. They just stay down. The problem gets too big for them and they just stay down. The situation is too much for them and they stay down. The disease, the cancer in the family, the hardship at home, the broken home, the sad news about a prodigal, that thing gets them down and they stay down. But I got good news in the name of Jesus this morning. He can raise you up. You say, how's he going to do it? Give him your hand. You know, the greatest thing for you to do is just say, all to Jesus I surrender, all to him I freely give. I will ever love and trust him, in his presence daily live. I surrender all. I surrender all. I was talking to Brother Tobias yesterday, and he told me about a young man that God's blessed, and Brother Tobias got to lead him to Jesus. I'll raise my leg one more time on that. Amen.
Amen.
Boy, that's good, isn't it? Greatest work you'll ever do in your life is bringing someone to Jesus. Greatest thing you ever do in your life is bring someone to Jesusville, Denver. I don't know how many points you might score in basketball, but the greatest thing you ever do in your life is bring somebody to Jesus.
Okay.
And Brother Tobias had the great blessing of winning this man to Christ. He goes to a Catholic church, he got saved. He's been spending time with him, discipling him. And he said, he was sharing with me, he said, "You know what my friend told me last week he did?" I said, "What's that?" He said, "My friend prayed," and he said, he told me, he said, "Tobias, I prayed, and what I prayed the other night was, Jesus, I want you to have all of my life." I'm going to tell you something. When you pray like that, life's going to change. And God's going to raise you up. Our problem is we keep something back for ourselves. Our problem, we don't give Him our hand. We keep something to ourselves. We don't let Him take control. Listen, you don't got to know the Bible to be used. You don't got to know everything in the Bible to be used, is what I'm saying. You don't have to know all the doctrines. Listen, I've seen people be great soul winners that didn't even know where Adam and Eve came from. That's right. I've seen people that did not know the Bible, that did not know where to find in the beginning God created, but they wanted to tell everybody that Jesus saved them. They learned they were a sinner. They learned that Jesus was a Savior. They placed their faith in the Savior, Jesus Christ. And then they said, "Now I want to tell everybody what He's done for me." And I've seen God use those people that didn't even know much of the Bible. Jesus one time went to a woman at the well, and the woman at the well was living with a man. By the way, did you know because you live with somebody don't mean you're married? Amen. Common marriage is not biblical marriage. Jesus looked at the woman at the well and said, "You've been divorced 5 times and the man you're living with now you're not even married to." If who you live with is who you're married to, Jesus would have recognized the woman as being married. But He said, "You were married and divorced and now you're living with a man." That's right. So listen, if you hadn't gotten married, you need to get biblically married. Amen. You say, "I'm scared to." Well, get out of that sin and get right with God. Get married. Amen. Get married. Common marriage starts because of lust, not because of love. Just because you had a child with somebody don't mean you did it God's way. That came out of lust. Amen. I don't care if a state recognizes somebody that's been married after they lived together for 8, 10, 12 years. Marriage comes from God. God instituted marriage, not the government. Somebody say amen right there. It was God that gave away the first bride. God gave away the first woman. God instituted the first marriage. God performed the first ceremony in the garden. And just because somebody says you're married, it don't mean you're married unless God gives you okay. You ought to get biblically, rightfully married if you're not. But let me say this now. The woman at the well, living with a man. She was known as a whore. She got saved at the well. Guess what she did next? She went into town. I'm telling you. While His disciples were eating food, she was out bringing souls. She went into town and said, "Everybody, come see a man." You know she did it broken. She didn't do this. "Come see a man. Pastor." She went in there with tears running down her broken heart, a broken, sinful life that woman had, a life that everyone pointed as an outcast, a life almost like she had leprosy on the outside of the sinfulness in her heart. And she walked in that town with tears running down. You know she did. "Come see a man. It told me all I ever did. It's not this for Christ." And she brought the whole town to Jesus. All she was a woman living with a man. Jesus radically saved and changed at the well. God can use you if you give Him your hand. God can use you if you let Him raise you up. Don't stay down when you're down. The just man, I pray you're listening. Hey, I pray you're listening. The just man falls 7 times, riseth up again. You say, "I failed again." Well, that's normal. We all fail. But the just man, the right man, the man that God helps, he keeps getting back up. We all fail. But don't you stay down. Don't you stay down. You let Jesus take you by the hand and raise you back up. The altar is always open every Sunday. The altar is always open every Monday in your home and your heart. You can get right with God anytime you want. Jesus loves you. He wants you to come back to Him. It don't matter how far you've gone. You listening? Don't matter how much sin you've done. Don't matter how much bitterness you hold in your heart. Don't matter how many times you said no to His perfect divine will. You can get right with God right now if you let Him take you by the hand and raise you up. God used somebody that we don't even know who their name is. And God can use you.
God can use you. And God can use you. And God can use you. You say, I'm slow. I'm not intellectual. And God can use you. I don't have much to offer Him. I don't have much to offer Him. God can use you. I heard a story of a preacher. He said, when I was little, I was a poor boy. I didn't have much to offer. He said, but I told God, I said, God, I'll give you all I got as a poor boy, a broken home. I'll give you all I got. And God said, that's all I need. Amen. And God took that boy and made a great preacher out of him. Think about Sam Jones. Sam Jones was a drunk man, a wife beater. One day, Sam Jones beat his wife up so bad, he left her in a bloody mess. He went back to the bar and began to drink himself to death. And the Holy Spirit of God began to convict him. And people had been witnessing to him about Jesus Christ. And right then and there, Sam Jones said, that's it. I'm giving my life to Jesus. And Sam Jones invited the Savior into his life that day. And Sam Jones, after he got saved, he said, I'm not going to go home yet. I'm going to wait about 3 or 4 days. And he got sober and he got clean and he got a new outfit and got his hair combed and he looked decent. And he went back to his wife's house and knocked on that lady's door. And when she answered, she looked and she began to scream and say, no, leave me alone. Don't you come near me anymore. Leave me alone. And as he walked in, he said, honey, you don't understand. You got a new man now. You got a new husband now because Jesus has saved me. And he went on to be one of the greatest preachers in America, Sam Jones, the great revivalist. And God can use you if you let him. Let's pray. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. It don't matter how much you've done. Don't matter how much stress you got. I don't know how much sin you committed. And we're all sinners. And Jesus is the Savior. You say, preacher, I used to be used of God. I used to walk with God. But I've messed up so many times. There's just no way God will use me anymore. You've got it all wrong, sir. You've got it all wrong, ma'am. The same God that used you yesterday, He's still the same God that can use you today. Still God of purpose, a God of purpose. And He wants to help you. He wants to give you a life worth the living. He wants to help that marriage that's broken. He wants to raise up that man stuck in awful sin. He wants to raise up that woman that's committing adultery. He wants to raise up the man that's an alcoholic. He wants to raise up the one addicted to nicotine. He wants to raise up the one that's bitter over their sisters and brothers and mothers and fathers. He wants to raise up the prodigal that don't want to ever see his parents again. He wants to raise you up and use you. And would you give him your hand this morning? There might be somebody here that's never been saved, never truly been born again. All the Jesus. If you died right now, do you know for certainty you go to heaven? Listen, that nobody's going to save you but Jesus. Only Jesus can save you. If you died right now, would you go to heaven? I will not embarrass you, but I want to pray for you. If you're here this morning, you say, I don't even know for sure I'm going to heaven. I don't even know for sure that I'm going to die and see God for eternity. I think I might go to hell. I'm not going to embarrass you, but I want to pray for you. I'll snap my finger. If you slip your hand up, I'll pray for you this morning. Preacher, that's me. I don't know for certain. Would you pray for me? Slip it up right now. Anybody like that? I don't know. That's great. God bless you. God bless you. Anybody else? Preacher, I do not know for certainty I'm going to go to heaven. Anybody else? Just slip it up. And we'll ask Sister Brown, Brother Tobias to come up here. We do this every service. I want you to know that God is thinking about you right now. And He loves you more than life. He loved you so much He gave Jesus for you. If you just raised your hand, I beg of you, look right here at this lady over here and this gentleman right here. If you just raise your hand, would you please stand up right now? No one's looking. And they'll show you right now. They'll take you in the corner over here in the other room and show you how you can be eternally saved. Won't you come right now to this lady? Come on, praise God. That's great. God bless you. Amen. That's great. God bless you. Hallelujah. Amen. You come right here, Sister Brown. That's great. God bless you. Amen. You say, preacher, I didn't raise my hand, but I don't know for sure I'm going to heaven. Pray for me, preacher. Anybody like that? Slip your hand up. You did not first time, but you want to. Anybody else like that? Slip it up right now.
God wants you to save you. He wants to give you eternal life. He wants to give you a home in heaven. You don't have to die and go to hell. You can be saved by the good grace of Jesus Christ and know Jesus as your Savior. Preacher, pray for me. I didn't raise my hand, but I want to. Anybody else like that? Slip it up right now. Anybody else like that? You're here this morning and you got some big things going on in your life. You got some things going on you can't understand and you can't figure out. I'm going to tell you, give Christ your hand and let Him raise you up. God can use you greater than you could ever imagine. We'll meet many people one day in heaven who were won to Christ because of a mother-in-law who gave Jesus her hand. Father in heaven, I pray You'd help us in the invitation. I pray that people will come to the altar and that they'll lay their hand and their heart to You this morning. That they'll allow You to raise up their home. That they'll say all to Jesus. That they won't hold anything back. That they'll say, God, I need You in my family. God, I need You in my home. I need You in my life. I need You. I can't even walk without You holding my hand. God, help us in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Let's stand up here on this plan. You come right now. Right now. All to Jesus right now. You come right now and just say, all to Jesus. Here's my hand, Lord. Take my hand. Here's my hand. Raise me up, dear God. Here's my hand. Take my hand, dear Lord. Raise me up, dear God. Take my hand. I don't know what we're going to do in our family. I don't know what we're going to do in our life. I don't know what we're going to do. What's the next turn, God? Here's my hand. I don't know what I'm going to do. Take my hand.